Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina, Yah Israel, with another edition of the Yehuda Project. As usual, we have a lot of people that are calling in today, and I want to give everyone a chance to call on the line. So I'm going to play a song for you, for your enjoyment. Please bear with me. I'm going to try to put this together really, really quick, and let's see if it goes like we want. All right, here we go. I'm going to get my co-host on the line, Sister Kavah. Sister Kavah, are you there?
Yes, shalom, shalom to everyone. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I was trying my audio clips out today, and I wanted to do something a little different so I could only download the music that I had on my computer. So since this is our relationship, I figured we'd play something a little different. And how did that sound? Did it sound a whole lot better?
Oh, yes, and let me tell you, honey, I want to know who that artist is, because I will be getting that song. That song is beautiful, honey. I wasn't even sitting here no more.
Real talk.
I got to keep
all
it
right,
real.
Then. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I know that's my jam, too. I said, let me play that today just to see, you know, how it sounded on the radio and all that good stuff. So how are you today, love? How's everything been going? We're going to give everybody a chance to call in. We're still waiting on quite a few people to call. So so how's your day been?
Oh, it's been wonderful. Everything's good. Everything's blessed. Everything's crisp. I'm just happy and just excited about what the Most High is doing. Hallelujah. All praises.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw Adonijah. I think he might have got disconnected, so we're waiting on him to call back in. And also I wanted to make an announcement to any of you all that are calling in that are guests, because we've invited quite a few guests to be on the show this week. Please push 1 so that we can let you on and we can so you can introduce yourself to our listening audience. The phone lines are lighting up. We got a few people that are calling in, so we're going to give everybody a chance to get called in. We wanted to know, when I talked to you earlier today, you were talking about topics. Is there anything that you want to talk about in particular?
Well, it's interesting. Something I did want to bring up, and it's actually piggybacking off of something that you had brought to my attention on yesterday, and it deals with one of the tactics and one of the how do I want to work? One of the tactics that the government is going to be doing to people who have student loans and who are borrowers for their educational expenses and stuff like that, and that owe money to the government for the student loans, and if you are in default, there are some serious, serious things that is getting ready to transpire within this year and next year that is even going to prevent you from traveling. You're not even going to be able to travel. They're going to arrest you. So I just, you know, I know today is kind of more of an open forum. We don't have a topic that, per se, that we are going to stick to. We're going to kind of talk about different subjects, I mean, a particular subject on today. So I wanted to discuss, if we can briefly, and I wanted to read some things to people that what's getting ready to transpire to all of us that have student loans. I have student loans, and other people probably have student loans. And if your student loans are in default, oh, my goodness, you're in for some heavy stuff that's going to be transpiring, and it's going to impede your ability to even travel. So, and it also, this all goes along with what we've already been talking about getting ourselves at our proper political status. And with us not being our proper political status, then they're able to do certain things to us. And one way is student loans. So it's important, imperative that we educate ourselves on this, on what's happening.
Oh, great. Great, great. We have some clips and stuff we want to play for you guys today, because guess what? We've been spending a lot of time since we started this show trying to prepare our people and convincing our people to come together. And we've been pleading with everybody to come together. We need to come together, if no more than to just discuss how we're going to survive. And, you know, we've been doing this. We set up the 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address. And to be honest with you, in terms of people, we have about, we might have about 65 tickets left for personal people to actually attend, to go on online and register. And we really need to have those tickets registered by the 30th of June, because what we're doing are we're leaving tickets open for people to come to the door that want to be a part of the actual reception that we're going to have at the end of the State of the Nation Address. So all of those 150 tickets are not available to everybody. So once we get these tickets done, we're going to focus on the leaders. But we've been trying to get you prepared for what's coming. And I don't know how else to say it other than that we're going to have to learn how to survive, because times are really beginning or going to begin to get really bad. And that's what this whole show is all about, bridging relationship between the male and the female, the family, the children, and the nation, so that we can come together and figure out what we're going to do to survive. So that is what we're trying to do, and we're going to do something different this week, this session. We're going to play a few clips to let you know what's recently happening in terms of our government, because our government is not in a position to help us anymore. They've told us time after time that they cannot help. The unemployment rate is skyrocketing with our black people. Health care and all of the changes that are happening with health care, the changes that are happening with education. We need you to come together, because once it hits and you panic and you don't know what to do, then you're not going to be prepared, and you're going to be at a disadvantage, and that's what we don't want to have. You know, so we've invited a few analysts on the line with us today. We have some pastors that are going to be on the line with us today, because we have to also deal with the church. And you know, we've been avoiding this topic. I know I have for quite a while, you know, in dealing with the church, because one thing about the church, Kavah, is the church is selling heaven.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're selling heaven, and the heaven pays, I'm telling you, they buy heaven like nobody's business. And that's true. That's what they do. You know, when I was in the church, I believed that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's where I'm going. When all this chaos hits, I'm going to be raptured up out of here, and I'm not going to experience any of this chaos. And that is one of the biggest illusions that have been given to our people. And it did not just start. It actually started in slavery. sell something very good to our people to keep them distracted so that they won't even think about allowing their minds to freely think about being set free from the slavery and the bondage that they were put in. So this selling heaven and it's going to get better by and by, and you're not going to be here when the tribulation period happens, when all this stuff happens up on the earth. We're going to be taken up out of here and there, and then we're going to come back down. You know what? That's really sad, because the fact that they flipped the book and took things out and put stuff in has caused one of the biggest illusions to be placed in the face of our people. And our people are walking around with the mindset that I'm going to fly up out of here. And when tragedy hits, you're going to be devastated because you're not going to know what to do and how to do it. Then you're going to think that I missed the rapture.
Yep.
You know, there are things that need to be put on the table. All the cards need to be laid out on the table. Let's look at the hands. Let's weigh the hands. Because, you know, this stuff is getting deep. And we ain't got time to be sitting around here. I'm going to keep it real with y'all today. Kavai's going to come out of a different bag. So if you get offended, I'm not trying to offend you. But sometimes we have to say things, put things in your face the way it is, just so you can see how it truly is. So it ain't time for us to pussyfoot around no more. It ain't time for us to pat you on the back and tell you it's going to be all right. No, we're going to put some fire up under your behind to let you know that this stuff is real.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So Yaina and I, you know, we have been mandated. I have been mandated. And I will not apologize to any man nor any woman for the mandate that has been placed on my life to do what I'm supposed to do for my people and those that are willing to have an ear to hear and to listen. Don't shoot the messenger. Take the message. If you don't like it, you don't have to hear it. You don't have to do the message. But I got to give it.
Got to give it. It's our job to give it, and we don't have a choice in the matter. So we got quite a few callers on here, and I think what we should do is deal with the educational piece first. Since you brought up the student loans, we're going to play a clip for you. That was brought to my attention by one of the sisters that's actually a part of our class that we have on the Sabbath day. And I want to play a clip for you because she was really devastated behind this. And when she brought it to my attention yesterday, you know, it kind of shook me because I didn't even expect. I mean, you know, sometimes we have the wool pulled over our eyes, but this is a wake-up call today. This show is a wake-up call, and it's not just for Hebrew Israelites. It's for unconscious Israelites. It's for the people of the other nations. This is really getting really serious. So I want to play this clip for you, and I want you to listen real closely to what's going on. Here we go.
Now to a News 10 exclusive. A Stockton man wants an apology tonight for a wake-up call he should have never received. It is a story you'll only see on News 10. Lee Painter tells us why police and federal agents knocked down his door.
This is what they did to my door.
At 6 this morning, a SWAT team surprised Kenneth Wright at his front door.
In my underwear. Before I get to the door, I hear him say, hit it. And I get ready to hit the door, and they hit the door. It almost hit me. So I said, hold on. They hit it again. I said, hold on.
But the SWAT team busted in, taking Wright.
They come grab me by my neck and drag me out my house to right there in the grass.
Thrown to the ground and handcuffed, law enforcement then searched his house.
And they put me in the backseat of a police car for over 6 hours, from 6 o'clock to 12:30. They had me handcuffed in the back of a police car with nothing on but my ripped-up underwear that they ripped in the yard.
Wright says they also woke his three children, holding them for 2 hours. But they failed to find their quarry, Wright's estranged wife. Wright later complained to Stockton's mayor and police, but the city pointed to the U.S. Department of Education.
They say you owe a student loan, and you got to pay it. I just had my door kicked in because of this.
With the help of the Stockton Police Department, News 10 was able to contact one of the federal agents who was at the search this morning, who gave us a Washington, D.C. number for the Office of the Inspector General.
who confirmed it was the Department of Education who conducted the search, that they can't discuss anything in the case until it's closed, not even if it's policy to break in and handcuff people who default on student loans.
They put this here and they said, we fixed the hole. The hole is the least of my worries.
Wright says all he wants is an apology and a new door, and he has this warning to former students that the federal government's coming to collect in a big way.
People that have student loans out there are people that owe money. Please pay your bills. Take care of your credit. If you don't believe me, this could be you one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
In Stockton, Lee Painter, News 10.
All right. What do you say about that, Kavai? That's some serious. They kicked his door in. They kicked his door in because his student loans was in default. Can you imagine? I mean, they kicked the man's door in and drug him out in the street because his student loans was in. Student loans.
But guess what? You know, that's just another avenue for the government to come in and do what they're doing. I mean, what they're doing is, it's almost like, well, we already know martial law is in effect. We've been in martial law for a long time, but now they're enforcing it under the name or under the guise of student loans. You know, you've defaulted. So now people are going to do what? Go back to debtor's prison? Are we going back to debtor's prison? We're going to have debtor's prison all over of America? You know, you owe a debt. You understand what I'm saying? So that's just like, I'm going to take you to jail for a loan that you have with the government, and we're going to put you in prison until your debt is fully paid up. That's sad. But I'm not surprised. And the reason why I am not surprised is because I remember, I think it had to be a year or so ago, there was a brother that told me he was looking for property and said he was going to get some property so that he can have a place where he can go when all this stuff hits. You know, he said, Sister Kavai, I want to just be able to just have me a little house on there and plant me some stuff and just have my own land. But you know what he said? He said, but I can't get the land right now, not in my name, because I owe a student loan. And the government is going to use that to come and confiscate people's properties. If you are in default or you owe them, they're going to come and take your property. Amazing. Amazing. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. And it's going to get worse than that. You think they're coming in your house? Please. You're not going to even be permitted to travel, flying out. And you think they're stopping you now because they are profiling you by the color of your skin? Just let them pull your name up, and then the system is going to pull up, start blinking red flashes. Student loan in default, student loan in default. They're going to pull you over and put your behind in jail, and they are not playing.
serious, real talk. You know, audience, we are not on this. We're not on this show to build any sort of points for ourselves or to become celebrities or anything. We are merely on this show to wake Israel up and let Israel know it's time to get serious. It's time to start focusing on how we're going to eat as a nation. Food, shelter, clothing, it's time to come together. It's time to stop bickering. It's time to stop being in fear. These are the things that are happening for real. And because they don't put it on mainstream media and you don't know about it, it's happening in little individual places. And people are experiencing different things, and they're not telling you about it. And because of the beauty of the Internet, and because we have access to the Internet, we have an opportunity to bring this to you to let you know. Get your stuff in order. If you have student loans that's in default or you haven't had them deferred, don't leave it hanging, because anything that they have, because this they give you this money unsecured. You don't have to have any collateral or anything. As long as you qualify for it, they give it to you. And they're coming back to get their money and whatever it takes. And I'm going to open up the mic. I see Brother Donia. Brother Donia, you on the air. And if you have a comment, please push 1 if you have something you want to say. We love to hear what you have to say. We have quite a few people on the line. Go ahead, Brother Donia.
Shalom. This is Donia from Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, it's getting rough and it's going to get worse. It's just, you know. Our only salvation is in the Almighty. And you are absolutely right when you say we got to come together and find a solution for all. Well, our solution is in the Almighty. Once we come together, he will let us know what we need to do and how we need to go about doing it. We just, our only job is to unite. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, like I had said before, this is not a revolution. This is an evolution. This is trying to bring us back up to a status where we can, where the Almighty will work with us. So the Almighty is our salvation. That's our only way out. We don't have no other way out. There's no magic bullet here. You understand?
Right.
We just got to try to get ourselves together. And I know that everybody, you know, if you don't have a solution, you understand, let's try to work on this one. You understand? Let's see what we can do. See what the Almighty will do for us if we do this. If we just come together, let's see how the Almighty will work with us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I know that he will, because he did it all our lives, all our forefathers' lives. He worked with us. You understand? He says, we got to figure out, we got to come to the Almighty and let him show us how that we can sustain our living in these dark days. And it's going to be rough. It ain't going to be no sweet thing. You understand?
Okay.
So we need to come together, and I relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you know what?
Yes.
That's just one instance. Like I said, we just played a clip for those who just joined us, because we got quite a few people on the line, where they kicked the man's door in because he defaulted on his student loan. And when you understand, and I want to play another clip for you, I think this happened in Atlanta about a year ago with the system and the glitch that they had in the system with the food stamp program. You had all these people out waiting to get their food stamp, so they didn't load, or something happened where the food stamps didn't load or something, and these people were out in the middle of the street acting up because their babies hadn't eaten. And we got a whole nation of people that's dependent on these programs, and it's like, you got to stop depending on the government, because they're telling you constantly that they don't have the funds to continually feed and to do this. So let me play this clip for you real quick. This happened in Clayton County, and I'm going to play this for you real quick so you can listen. It's only about 2 minutes and 56 seconds. Here we go.
...of Clayton County parents who say their children are going hungry tonight after their food stamps were suddenly cut off. Fox News Justin Gray is at the live desk with the story that is all new tonight on The Edge. Justin.
Tom, state officials admit to me tonight that something went wrong down in Clayton County at the office that administers food stamps and Medicaid, but they're still not sure what. Parents tell me tonight they can't buy food without those food stamps.
This food stamp card ain't got number 17 cents on it.
Terry Clark says she stood in line for more than 6 hours at Clayton County's Human Services office because food stamp help for her 6 children unexpectedly ended.
There's no telling my kids that we can't eat. I'm not taking no, because my babies don't deserve that. Nobody kids should go hungry down here in Georgia.
State officials say this office was overwhelmed today with dozens of families facing a similar problem. The food stamps just not there.
Me and my kids, they haven't ate since this morning. And I was supposed to get my food stamps yesterday, and I didn't get nothing.
So they was getting angry. They started banging on the windows.
A state spokesperson tells me what happened here today was out of the ordinary, and it was unexpected. But they say they're not sure what exactly went wrong. What was the glitch that led to this mess?
Our budgets have not increased. They've been actually decreased.
The director admitted to me there were problems here as he tried to calm fears. And a state spokesperson says, quote, we have both state and county staff working to understand the cause of the problem today. We are working to ensure people receive their food stamps as soon as possible.
I'm a cancer patient. I need these pills to survive. Okay?
Candace Bennett says her cancer medications have nearly run out, and after spending all day here, her Medicaid and her food stamps are both still on hold.
When are y'all going to come through? When are you going to come through? When I'm on my last pill? Or better yet, when I'm dead? And then I won't need it.
State officials say the Clayton County office was closed Monday because of furloughs, and that could have contributed to the lines. They are investigating whether some sort of paperwork or computer problem might have led to some families getting their benefits cut off by mistake. Reporting at the live desk tonight, Justin Gray, Fox 5.
All right, Justin. What
do you say about that? I mean, how serious is that? I mean, you know, when you think about it and you understand where we are, and again, if you have any questions or you want to comment or you want to say something, please push one. But the whole purpose of this show, and we want to say this again, is to build the relationship between the male and the female, the mother and the father, the husband and the wife, the family, the children, the nation. Because we as a nation know what's coming. We as a people know what's in store for us, and we know what's coming, and it's coming real fast. Now, this was a glitch in the system. But guess what? It's coming a time when it's going to be a glitch in the system, and you're not going to be able to get your food stamps unless you're chipped. So we're trying to let you know that this chaos that they created, that they did, could have been a glitch in the system or just to see how people reacted. But how many of us are dependent upon that to the point where we need that to survive? We have to start depending on ourselves. Anybody want to say anything on the panel? If you want to say something, please push one.
I just want to say this, Jaina. That particular situation there that transpired, I don't believe it was a glitch. I do believe it was a test run just to see how they would be able to manage the crowd or what would happen with those that are you know, that are, you know, that they're testing this, not giving them their food stamps, and the response from the crowd. You know, there's something that they do. It's a psychological thing, mindset, or a psychological test that they'll do on certain crowds, and they'll just see the effect from what happened when a certain event transpire or if they do something, how the crowd will respond and how they can now better manage this crowd or the crowd when they actually put this in full effect. So what they did was actually just do a test run to see what would happen, how would the crowd react. They knew that the results were not going to be favorable, but they wanted to see how they would be able to manage this crowd and the reaction of the crowd. Is this crowd going to get real, real violent? Are people going to start shooting? Are people going to take their cars and run through the building? I mean, all of that, just to see. You know, they'll test run in different spots in the country before they actually get ready to implement something and do something across the whole system. So I don't believe it was a glitch. I believe it was a test run. I believe that they did a psychological analysis behind this to see the reaction of the crowd. So, you know, there was no glitch. A glitch, you mean they're on furlough on Monday, so they weren't working, so you mean to tell me on Thursday and Friday, better yet, on Wednesday, a few 4 or 5 days before you go on your furlough, you can load people's food stamp cards? Please. I mean, I was born in the day, but not yesterday. Mm-hmm. Might have been born at night, but not last night. Come on now.
Yeah.
And so they'll put this information out there. Oh, it was a glitch. It was a glitch. Projecting. It was a glitch. It was a glitch. It was a glitch. That's a lie. Glitch lie. You know, so it's important that our people understand we have to go back to learning how to feed ourselves. We don't even know how to feed ourselves. Some of us don't even know how to grow food. We don't even know how to cook from scratch. A lot of these young mothers, young girls, they don't know how to cook. They do not know how to cook nowadays. Microwaves took that away. So we have been handicapped in almost every arena. But our job is to jolt you and to get your mind to turn and to think for yourself and to think, like, what will I do if something like this happens? Do I have enough food? Do I have enough food stocked up? Do I have enough dry beans? Do I have enough water? Do I have enough this, that, and the other? If something was to happen, am I able to cook from scratch? Make me something out of scratch instead of going to get something out the freezer at the grocery store, throwing it in the microwave, loaded with sodium, killing your body,
I mean, all of that. We have been handicapped in every way, and it's time for us as a people to wake up. I mean, it's time for us. If you see some young girls that don't know how to cook, give them some recipes. Tell them you'll help them and show them. Let me show you how to cook some things from scratch. Sometimes I have done that for young girls. Let me show you how to take something and make it from scratch. Let me show you what you need to do. So we need to take the initiative and take it upon ourselves. You know what? I'm going to help them if they let me. We have to get the knowledge back to our people. We have to take these young girls, and not just the young girls, but even the young men. I taught all my sons how to cook. I told them, you need to learn to cook. And I taught them how to cook because you are going to have a wife that may not have time to cook. She may be working. You may be working. You can cook for her too. So I taught them how to cook. I taught them how to do things. I taught my sons how to do things. Because I knew that there was going to come a day that with the way this generation is, these girls don't know how to cook. These young ladies don't know how to cook. And the mothers are not teaching them because you have a lot of babies raising babies, teenage mothers raising children. And then the grandmothers running around.
Even if you go past the cooking part, guess what? The problem is, everybody's dependent upon the system. Everybody's dependent upon the system. And if those food stamp cards don't load, those children don't eat, our nation doesn't eat, our people don't eat. And that is that's nonsense. I mean, really, when you understand that we're agricultural people and we lived off of the land and we grew our own food, that we have been so conditioned to rely on our government to do everything for us, that we become codependent. And if they can push a button and your children don't eat, it's something wrong with us, and our survival tactics have just gone in the toilet.
That is true. That is so true. And you are absolutely right. I mean, you are absolutely right. I mean, everything that they have done to us has been strategic. From creating the projects and putting our people in the projects, that was all strategic. They weren't helping us. They were handicapping us, putting us in places where we live on top of each other like roaches stacked on top of each other. You know, I mean, for real. And what's going to happen when you have a lot of people that are poor, living in a place where they're dependent on the government, can't hardly feed themselves, working like a dog, and they stacked in a high-rise project or in a community where they're all poor and trying to survive. And then what's going to happen? They're going to retaliate against one another.
Mm-hmm.
For real. That was strategic, what they did.
Yeah, sure is. That's where the race war going to come in at. Go ahead, Hodonia.
Shalom. Yes, this was all by design. You understand, from the time of slavery, they brought us over here as slaves, and they didn't just destroy the people that they brought over here. They destroyed all of Africa. The people in Africa don't plant groceries. They dependent on the European. You understand? So all of this is by design. And what's so sad about it, you understand, that we can't see the forest for the trees. You understand? We just so dependent on these folks. That indoctrination is so deep. You understand? You can't. I mean, what really gets me is that we're trying to bring some understanding here, and they won't believe nothing that we say. But if that white man say something or that European say something, they jump the sky high. You understand? So, I mean, so the indoctrination here, man, is so deep, man, you know. And I can't say, y'all are saying it exactly right, that we need to come together, find out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And the Almighty will show us what we need to do. He brought us to this point right here. He got us This look here. This is not no fabricated story. The Almighty had brought us to this point right here, and He will show us. All we got to do is be committed to the Almighty. You understand? Be committed to restoring the nation of Israel, bringing us back giving us some kind of directive. Right now, we ain't even got no directive. We don't know what to do. If they did that, on a vast scale, we in big trouble. We in big trouble, especially right now, because we ain't got nothing going on. We don't cook. Just like you said, we don't do no cooking. You understand? We don't do nothing for ourselves. You understand? So what we gonna do here, you understand, is perish. You understand? So I'm with you 100%. I am with you. I relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. We don't do anything for ourselves. And as a people, we have to come out of this. But we are addicted to the system like a drug addict is addicted to crack.
That is correct.
It's the truth. We are literally addicted to the system.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get our fix. You're going to give me my food stamps this month. I'm going to get my first of the month check.
And it ain't all that much neither that they're giving away.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that some of us may not have to use it temporarily to get to where we need to be or to get on our feet. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying dependent upon it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thinking that this is my source. The system is not your source.
No.
That's the problem. The mindset that the system is the source, that's a lie. The system has never been your source. Never been
source. But guess what? It's not just Hebrew Israelites, you know, because even though we know that that all of us are conscious, unconscious, whether they be Christians, whether they be Muslims. I wanted to play another clip real quick of a young man, because this has really been got real serious now. I mean, when you really understand what's going on, you know, the people that are speaking out in times past, they have shut them up through fear tactics or doing things to them or doing whatever they can do, you know, to them to scare everyone else off. But, you know, we're here to let you know that we're trying everything in our power to be able to wake you up and get you to listen. We have radio shows, we have television shows, we have Knessets, we have groups, we have organizations, people are putting nations together. We're doing everything in our power to form something where there is a place of refuge that you can run into in the time of trouble. Because trouble is coming, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, and whether you believe it or not. It's coming because our country, our leaders are continually telling us that the country is bankrupt. It is broke. It does not have any money. 90% or even more than 90% of our debt is owned by China.
Correct.
And they're coming to collect, let me tell you.
And they're coming to collect, period.
Period.
Even China is broke today. You understand? So it'll be a little while before they start calling their debt in. You understand? Because China ain't got it going on like we think they did. I was listening on the news today, this morning, about how China is in a 5% deficit or something similar to that. You understand? But they don't care. You understand? I'm gonna show you how they don't care. They got millionaires that got offshore accounts. You understand? They got so much money. So if they're talking about this place is in such a debt without no money, what these people doing with offshore accounts? That money ain't even being used. And they're paying other nations, you understand, to keep that money in out of circulations. So they don't really care. You understand? It's designed to keep us. I was reading something today. You understand? It's designed. They designed this here to keep us out of the mainstream of things. They're keeping us in the dark. You understand? Because we're never supposed to go back to Yah, from their point of view.
Right.
So it's a real It's a real deep situation that we in, and it's sad, man. It brings tears to my heart how we still stand up and buck. You understand buck our way out. We got a way out of this. If we come back to the Almighty with all our heart and all our souls, He will show us the way out. Hallelujah.
That's the truth. But I want to say this, Sister Yain, just before you play that clip, when you all talk about the 90% of our debt is owned by China, and how China owns a lot of stuff. China has a huge interest or equitable interest in America. And because they have an equitable interest in America, when they get ready to collect, they're going to really collect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's the truth. You know, I remember when the housing market crashed and all of the stuff that happened in the real estate market crashed, most people didn't even understand that their mortgages actually have been sold to China.
That is correct.
You're thinking that this mortgage company or servicer, which is the middle person for the person that owns the debt, they're just there to collect from you. They don't own your mortgage because your mortgage is really being held by the person that owns it, which was China. Most people didn't even understand that your homes was owned by China. And it's so sad. But one of the ways that the American government and what they're doing, the United States of America government, what they're trying to do is they're trying to recoup some of the debt that is owed to them, and or try to bring that deficit down. And the way they're doing that is actually through those who have defaulted through their student loans. That's why they're doing what they're doing. I mean, it's a method to their madness. They know exactly what they're doing. So if we can't get our debt down this way, we're gonna put it on the backs of our people again, because you're already human collateral.
Wow,
I mean, that's just a fact. So if that means we got to hunt you down, we're going to hunt you down. And Sister Yaina, when you're done playing that clip, I'm going to read an article that was actually, that came out last month, the month of May, on the 17th of May, and it deals with the student loan defaulters and what's going to happen with them. So you go ahead and play the clip, and then when we come back and discuss it, I'll read what I have printed off.
Yeah. All right. Now, we want to urge you, if you got any debt out there at all, if you can't pay it, you can't pay it. But if you can make arrangements, especially with the student loans, call the people and make arrangements. Again, they broke into a young man's house. They pulled him out of his house. They held him for 6 hours. They searched his house. And it was not because he committed a crime. It was not because he did something illegal in terms of breaking the law. It was because he defaulted on his student loan. And the Department of Education came in his house with the SWAT team. Now, we will play that clip for you again. For those who are new on the line who did not hear it, we will play that for you again so that you can make sure you hear this. This is serious. But again, it's not just him, because we got to hit one more issue. And I want to play this young man real quick, and we're going to talk about him right now. And I hope you enjoy. Here we go.
Allah, he said that he will use the enemies of Islam in order to promote the religion. So many times they try to attack us. They try to use false flag operations to make it seem as if we're involved in activities, which we are really not, to deceive the people, to get them to turn away from us, but it actually helps us.
And we know, Mr. Shabazz, the brutal killing of Trayvon Martin recently in the U.S., and that gave a lot of cause for people to take out to the streets to protest because of similar instances involving teenage African Americans who were murdered by white men or security forces or police. Basically, do you think that this is the beginning, the start of a popular movement, a growing popular movement in the U.S. against racism? Do you see that happening in the U.S.?
I mean, well, this isn't anything that's new with the Trayvon Martin case. You know, my heart goes out to him and his family. May Allah have mercy upon his soul. But this isn't anything that's new, and this isn't an isolated incident. There are hundreds of Trayvon Martin incidences that are taking place all throughout the country. But many times, the mainstream media here within the United States, they keep these issues localized, and they don't report it to the rest of the public. So they make it seem as if when an incident like this happens, it only happens within your own community. Many people in Florida or in the East Coast might be familiar with Trayvon Martin. They might not be familiar with Oscar Grant in Oakland, California, who was murdered on the BART station with his handcuffs behind his back. He was handcuffed behind his back, and they murdered him. They might not be familiar with Kenneth Harding in Texas. Those in Texas familiar with Kenneth Harding might not be familiar with the imam who was murdered by the federal government in Michigan. Those in Michigan familiar with that case might not be familiar with Bell, Louima, or Diallo in New York. You had Bell. He was coming home from a bachelor party. Him and his friends, they got in the car. They were unarmed. The police converged on the vehicle and let off 40-something shots. One officer emptied his clip, reloaded, and continued to shoot. You had another brother. They stuck a plunger up his rectum. The police didn't do any time. They got off. You had another brother. He was an African immigrant here in New York, and the police had stopped him. He went in his pocket to get his wallet. They shot him 27 times. When he was on the ground, they continued to shoot. So the Trayvon Martin incident, the Oscar Grant incident, these incidences are not isolated incidences. There are hundreds of black men that are being murdered all over the United States of America every year, with impunity. And the police officers, they serve no time. They always get off.
All right, guess what? And, Kavai, you want to take it from there? Because that is Malcolm X's grandson. Right now he's dead now. They someone murdered him, and his body was found in Mexico. And I think that was what Juan was talking about last week. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that is happening, and it may not be. Some people would be like, well, they've been doing that. It's not anything any different. You're absolutely correct. They've been doing it, and that's what we're trying to stop. We're trying to get our people to realize that we got to do something to stop all of this, because we got to stop making excuses. But go ahead and do your educational piece.
Okay, I want to just say something on that before I go there. It's never okay to have our men be a sacrifice. Because that's what's happening. Our men are being sacrificed, period. You don't think that some of these people don't meet up in secret places and do ritualistic things and carry a badge to carry out that, to perform that sacrifice that gives them a legal right to sacrifice somebody? Y'all better wake up. You better open your eyes. Because the sacrificing is just not behind closed doors anymore. This thing is deep. They're sacrificing our men in daylight, right before our eyes, to perform a ritualistic sacrifice with a governmental official badge. That's what's happening. And they think people don't see it. And they think people don't get it. And they think those of us who are spiritual don't know what they're doing. But I do. And you will be taken care of. But the acts that you have done, you will be repaid. And not only you, but your children too.
That is correct.
That's true. That's what the word says. I mean, you know, we gotta do something. We gotta wake them up. We gotta do something. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm at a point where I really don't know what to do other than pray. I mean, I really don't. Somebody gotta help me. Help me to understand why
it started.
So
where we come together at that forum that you're going to have. You understand? I think that if we can get these people to the table, you understand, we could come up with a solution. We might not like the solution, but every problem has a solution. You understand? And we just have to come up with the solution. I know the solution is the solution is coming back to the Almighty and start taking care of one another. If we don't take care of one another, we cannot depend on nobody else to do it for us. You understand? We got to stop looking outside ourselves for our help. Our help is in what we do. You understand? And the Almighty will bless our hand. He will show favor. That's what we have to do. We have to get the Almighty to show faith, show us favor. You understand? The favor of the Almighty is paramount today. You understand? We cannot sit by here and just let them other people just run over us. You understand? All through time, whenever we had any kind of problem, the Almighty rolled somebody up to give us some kind of direction and we got out of that. We just got to trust in the Almighty and do what we're supposed to do. You understand? Ooh, it's just getting so deep here. You understand? Ooh.
But guess what? Guess what? And this is who I am, and I'm glad you guys are on the show today because I need some reassurance today because, you know, the people, us, that are out here, and we're struggling. I mean, really, when you take a stand for this thing and you come out and you say, hey, I'm going to start living this way, you come under a attack in it. And you come under ridicule, and a lot of people have lost jobs, they've lost families. I mean, you got men on the street corners that standing out there on the front row could get shot at any point. They preaching the word. You got people building nations, and their families are at risk. And you know, they're going to the government and they're saying, hey, we know who we are. We're going to proclaim we are. We have a right to self-determination. We have the right to say that we're Hebrew Israelites, and, you know, we're everything's getting in place. And then you have a whole other group that's been doing this for so long, and they're over here in this corner, and they're arguing about tassels and new moons and when we're supposed to do this and the Sabbath day and all this kind of stuff. And then you got another group that's doing it, but they really don't want to be involved in it. And then you look at all the people that are sacrificing. Because, like you said, he's got to have a few people that will stand up and say, hey, we'll go. And then we stand up, and then we say we go, we'll go, and then our finances are attacked. You know, we're attacked physically, we're attacked spiritually. You know, just to be able to cry out and get this word out. And you know what, Adonia, I'm going to tell you the truth. The people that we have committed to the 2013 State of the Nation Address are people that we have committed that we know personally that have agreed to buy tickets. At the end of the day, these people aren't registering for this conference. They don't care one way or the other. You know what they care about? They care about Beyonce, and they care about Lil Wayne, and they care about all the movie stars and who having a baby and what new gym shoe is out and what's the latest clothes out. And you look at these people and you say, really? Are you serious? I mean, people are out here dying or putting their families on the line so that we can get this word out to you. Nobody pays us to put this radio show on. We do this out of our own resources. And sometimes we don't even have the resources to do it, but because the Most High has us doing this and he's sanctioning this thing, we're doing everything in our power to get this word out. But you know what happens? They don't really care one way or the other. So what's the point?
I mean, the point is,
you know what? Today I need some encouragement because
okay, the point is the fact that it's going to be one of a city and two of a family, but we must still tell everybody. We don't know who is going to be chosen. You understand? It's just it would be entirely up to the Almighty. But we build our chances up when we try to do something. You understand? Other than that, you understand? We're going to have these oppositions, Gavir. It's not going to just pop together. Everybody is not going to be on board. You understand? But we must tell them, or hear, or they hear or they forbear. It's written in the scriptures how that's going to happen. You understand? And I commend you for putting this together because we need this. We need this venue, this avenue, you understand, to give everybody an opportunity to come on board. If they don't come on board, we keep moving forward. That's what we got to do.
And you know what, Yaina? Yes, ma'am.
You know what, Yaina? We have to
we even have to take ourselves out of the equation when we look at this whole picture. I'm not looking at the picture of, you know, if I say something and they don't get it or they don't receive it, you know, why am I doing this? First of all, my accountability when it comes to a mandate is not to them. It's to the Most High.
Hallelujah.
That is my accountability to the all-power creator. If I was given a mandate by the all-power, by the Almighty, to do something, then guess what? My accountability in that portion belongs to him and not to them.
That is correct.
Now, I'm going to fulfill my mandate by simply doing what I was told to do, walking it out, because everything happens within the timeline of the Most High. It's
that is correct.
In the timeline. Is that correct, Brother Donia?
Correct.
Is it not written? It is written that we be at this point, at this time, doing what we are doing. We can't stop if we wanted to because it was written.
That is.
See, that's what you got to remove even your own thinking, your own mindset out of the way. Well, they're not hearing it. They're not hearing it. Guess what? Guess what? I'm a tool. My voice is just my voice, and my throat is being used for the all power to speak through me. They're ignoring him, not me.
You know what's really ironic? You know what's really ironic is that they've been hearing all this time. All of a sudden, when you say something, they don't hear it.
Exactly. I'm gonna go to the top. I got some callers on the line, you guys. I'm gonna go to them. We got two calls at the push one. We got area code 951 and area code 916. We're going to go to 916 first, and then area code 951. We're going to get you right on. The 916, you're on the air. Could you let everyone know where you're calling from, please?
Yes, this is Canoke. I'm calling from Sacramento, California. I'm coming in late, but I kind of heard a little bit of what you're saying, and I just wanted to read a scripture. It's Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 3-9, and it says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people not be warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require it at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked in his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We are the shofar.
That
I know,
is
I know,
so
I know,
true.
And you know what, and I understand that, and Canoke, Brother Canoke, I do understand that, I really do, but sometimes it just gets frustrating. You know, sometimes it gets frustrating because, you know what's happening. You know what's coming. You know what's coming. You can feel it in your spirit. You know, the Most High is giving dreams. He's giving people insight as to what's going to come. He gives us a mandate to pull this thing together and to make this thing happen so we can all come together and sit down to the table, because you're a vital part of this. I mean, anytime the food stamp program can be cut off with a flick of a switch, we need your seeds so we can start planting our own food. We need to train each other how to be able to grow our own food so that we can at least have something to eat and figure out how to. We need an emergency prepared kit. I mean, how many people in their homes, if something was to happen right now at this moment, has an emergency prepared kit that's stocked up with food, water,
water and the necessary things for them to be able to do what they need to do. And you know,
I got water and I got toilet paper.
Well, you know, and just that's something that we experience too. Even with what we're doing, even though we're right in the middle of the city, and kind of letting people know that, hey, here you can come here, and we'll teach you how to grow food and things like that. It's we don't get a whole bunch of people, but we do get people that come and they're interested and they're learning and they're starting to come into the idea of preparation. But, you know, at the same time, we do know that there's going to be two-thirds that may not, that's not going to make it.
That is
and,
correct.
You know, that's something that we have to be very, very cognizant of, too, as well. Because, you know, it's time to get prepared, and not even really time to get prepared, but you should always be prepared. That's not, you know, whether or not, you should always be prepared for any disaster, whether it's an economical, whether it's a you know, food or whatever the situation is. But, you know, it only takes one, though. You know, this is not, you know, we may talk to 10,000 people and only get two, but those two are the two that are supposed to come. So
that is,
you know,
correct.
That's true. That's true. That is true. I'm going to open up the mic for area code 951. Go ahead.
Yeah, one more thing, Loretta. I want you to understand this here. I don't want you to get frustrated. What you need to be is overjoyed. You understand that,
hallelujah.
That we have the opportunity, we recognize, and we have the opportunity to open the eyes of other folks. They don't want to come on board, that's on them. That's not on you.
Yeah, I also want to let you know Brother Juan is on the line as well. He's on the line with me. Okay. All right. I think Eric called 951. You're on the air. Go ahead. I left you guys' mic open, too. Erico
951. Shalom, Sister Yaina. This is Isabel.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to piggyback with awesome show. You really have a voice, and you ladies are really keeping it current with what's going out there right now as far as events. And I just wanted to piggyback on how these arrests are and how Kavar had made a statement about on the welfare. Yeah, whenever you see a drill, the key word is drill. Whenever you see a drill, they are doing a study because they also want to implement and see how long it would take even martial law to kick in, because family out there in Blog Talk world, this is not a game. This is really happening. When I say the rabbit hole is deep, the rabbit hole is deep. And so, you know, these FEMA camps, they're going to get full. They're going to get filled, people. It's real.
Right.
You know, mailboxes have been color-coded. Your mail has been color-coded. Your accounts on the Internet. I know Brother Juan, he knows, and I think he mentioned on the prior show how if we type certain words, we're flagged.
Mm-hmm.
We're monitored, people. Big Brother is watching. You don't have no privacy.
Right.
You have no privacy.
Right.
But
my heart
is right there with Brother Adonia. Be elated. Be elated at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's written. It's written, and you are your father's. I mean, if you know who you are, then, I mean,
that's
make
right.
your stand. Make your stand. You know, my name is Isabel. The ending of my name is Bell, and all I can do is ring, 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 and shout out and warn the people.
Mm-hmm.
So Isabel will make her noise, and she will shout out and no rock has
yes.
never got to take my place. Never, ever. So my cry out to the people out there, pay attention. Pay attention.
You know, one thing that I wanted to say also was that I know that we want all our relatives and our sisters and our brothers to be a part of this thing. But unfortunately, some of them is not going to make it.
Yes, because sir.
Because of their stiff-neckedness, you understand? They wax fat and they kick, you understand? And when I say that, I mean is that they look at all the things of this society that they could possibly have if they haven't got it already. And they don't want to make no waves. But they don't know that they are reckoning this here. Hallelujah.
And you know what? I appreciate all that, and that is, and you know what? I know that we have a voice, you know, and I just want to let everybody know, you know, that we love you, and we're not doing this because we don't have anything else better to do. We're not doing this because, you know, we don't have anything to do in the nation of the Israelites. We're doing this because we, like Kavai said, we've been mandated to let you all know that this is real life stuff. I mean, if you don't believe that the computer chip is coming, and I heard everybody say, oh, it's your Social Security number, oh, it's your this, oh, it's your that, there's a system coming in place where you're going to have to pledge an allegiance to someone. You either going to have to be over here or you're going to have to be over here. And you know what? We've been hearing this for our whole life, that this time was coming. And it's here now.
That is true.
And it's going to come upon us real fast, and people are still not listening. Again, we are having the 2013 annual State of the Nation address in Cincinnati, Ohio, September the 1st, so we can all come together and know what to do. Because the government has already told you we're not going to be able to help.
Right. And the fact of the matter that they said that we're not going to be able to help you, it's not that they're not going to be able to help you, it's that they don't want to help you and they don't care if you get help or not.
That is correct.
That's the whole point.
That's right.
That is the hard point. And
correct.
Yaina, you talked about the mindset of our people and how a lot of them are not. I think you made a statement about them not paying attention, or they don't realize what's going on, and it's almost like they don't care. Well, you got to realize they have been creating zombies for years, and
yes.
It started television. It started with all these different types of games, of distractions, things that will cause us to be in a state of hypnosis. We have been hypnotized.
Delusion.
Yeah, the illusion.
Yeah.
Our people are walking around like a bunch of zombies, and some of them don't even realize. They don't even know. They don't know what state that they're in, but they are in a state of a zombie, literally.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they don't
Absolutely.
Know how to get out. And guess what happens? And that's why I said we don't want to take this lightly, because we got young men that are on, that have come on this show, like Yehuda Ben and some other young men, that are young men that are standing for righteousness. But I want to play a little clip for you so that you can understand Malcolm Shabazz, we just played a few minutes ago, what happened to him. And just listen, because I know I can tell you what happened, but listen to what happened to this young man. And this young man, it was young in his 20s. He's 28 years old. Listen.
Wow. Malcolm Shabazz, the grandson of slain civil rights leader Malcolm X, was killed in Mexico on Thursday, a close family friend said. Shabazz, 28, is perhaps most widely known for intentionally starting a fire that killed his grandmother, Malcolm X's widow, Betty Shabazz, 63. In Yonkers in 1997. Asked about Shabazz's death, Esperanza Dilkman, a spokeswoman for the U.S. State Department, would confirm only that a U.S. citizen died in Mexico City. We have been in contact with family members, and at their request, we have no further comment at this time, she said. Terry M. Williams, a Mount Vernon native who now runs the Terry Williams Agency in New York City, has worked closely with the Shabazz family and confirmed the man's death. I'm confirming for the U.S. Embassy, on behalf of the family, the tragic death of Malcolm Shabazz, grandson of Malcolm X, she wrote on her Facebook and Twitter accounts. Statement from family to come. Reached it.
Now, look, they shot him in New Mexico, and this just happened, you guys. This just happened around May the 10th or somewhere in the part of May. Some people say he was in Mexico. Some people say he wasn't. But they're doing stuff still to us. And we're the group of people that's going to the State Department and doing different things. And we're just trying to get the word out to you. Like I said, we put everything on the line to be able to get the word out. And people just don't listen. They're not listening.
Can I interrupt, sister?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this brother Juan. Actually, I'm gonna be interviewing the gentleman that was with Malcolm Shabazz, Malcolm X's grandson, that brother that was with him in Mexico. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I actually got the exclusive interview coming up soon. You know? And,
wow.
I already talked to this brother yesterday. You know, and he's very adamant that there is some type of foul play involved because how he explained it to me is when he took Malcolm X's grandson to the hospital, he sat there for about 25, 30 minutes. Nurse came out and said, you're not allowed to go back there right now, but we're just coming out to let you know your friend's going to be okay. He's going to make it. So right after that, he went to the embassy to file a report of the incident. And when he got back to the hospital, when the nurse seen him, she notified him that Malcolm's grandson died. You know what I'm saying? But you know, earlier she had told him that he was going to be fine, just fine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
One thing I want to say also, this is a Donnie at one time, is that this we have to understand that these people are doing their job. And what I mean by that is that they're just a stick to beat us with. The punishment that we're supposed to suffer is in Deuteronomy 28. You understand? But all through our captivity, when we was in captivity in any other place, there was somebody that rose us up, and we went back to Jerusalem. That is the focal point where we supposed to be risen up, and the Almighty will bring us from the four corners of the earth. But we have to come back to the Almighty with all our heart and all our soul. And I mentioned, and the brother has said, he cited a scripture from Ezekiel. We must blow the horn. We must let people know. Give them the opportunity to get on board. You understand? It's only going to be one from a city or two from the family. You understand? So we got to understand that we got to stand up for the Almighty. We have to stand for the Almighty. You understand? We have to give honor and glory to the Almighty and do what he say that we got to do. And I relinquish the mic.
All right, we got somebody here. Area code 352. Go ahead, you're on the air. Could you let everyone know where you're calling from, please?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Can you hear? Hey. My name is Kavodia. Shalom, everybody. You know, I was sitting here listening to everybody, and what we tend to forget is that because we don't have chains on our legs and our arms, we think we're free. We are still in slavery and bondage to these people, and we will be, except for once we learn who we are, there should be a difference in our lives because we are worshiping and doing the Most High. These people are evil race of people. They have been there since the beginning of time. They're just evil. It's in their nature to do wickedness. And because we're up under the curse, and they know we're up under the curse, they feel they can do anything to us. And every time somebody that comes up that they think that's going to be a leader and take us up out of here, they kill them. They kill our children in the street. They kill our children in jail. They poison us with the food. They poison us with the water. The medicine is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole bottom line is America is not, they are not by no means broke. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poor. That's what's happening. Sure, they send their money out of here because they don't want to pay taxes on it and everything else, and they think it's safe. You mean to tell me in 2013, America still have people that's working for $758 an hour? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even these little rinky-dink companies is making $350,000 a year. And you feel fine about paying another human being that kind of money and then don't want to give them no insurance. They hate us. They know that the covenant is about to be broken and we about to be free. And they've hated us all along, and they've tried to kill us ever since we stepped on these shores. And they're going to continue until the Most High come get us. But there's things we got to do. We got, look, when everything hit the fan, it's going to be terrible. We got to start stacking up some food and water. That's what we got to do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
we got to start buying some, we got to buy organic food. Let me tell you why. I did some research on the food because I had a heart attack. And when I'm in the hospital, I had them check and see how many pesticides I had in my system. And they found 17 pesticides in my system from the food I was eating, and I was eating good food, so I started eating organic food. And, yeah, it costs more, but you're not eating poison. So if you got to eat a little less and it's better for you, then that's what you need to do. They are trying to kill us with the medicine. You take medicine for one thing, and when you turn around, you got nine things. And they don't, they're not distinguishing. They'll kill the poor white people, too, because the rich white people are going to the doctors that know better than to give them that kind of medicine. They don't eat that rotten food. You go in a supermarket, you buy some meat, you could be buying a clone animal. They done got so bold that they telling you, and we ain't even got to tell you.
That's right.
We have to save ourselves. We have to get these temples. We have to take food to the temples and let them store the food up because, believe me, it's going to hit the fan. They got coffins four deep waiting for us. They got FEMA trailers waiting for us.
That is correct.
And if you think the Bilderbergers and all the rest of them and the Illuminati is not true, it's true. They're doing all kind of rituals to kill us. And let us kill ourselves. They don't come in our neighborhood and just shoot 99 of us. They give us the guns to do it ourselves.
That is correct.
Our little boys on the street corner, they're making, what, $2 on a bag of dope? A bag of dope costs $2. So what they making, 25 cents? It's the dude up in the White House and the dude up in Congress and all of them crackers up in them high-rise buildings that back them drugs coming into our neighborhood. And as long as they come into our neighborhood, they didn't care. It was when their children start getting addicted. They hate us.
Right. That's right.
They hate us.
Right. That's right.
And the only reason they have not annihilated us is because the Most High has forbid it.
That is correct.
We have no more use to them. They think our children are crazy, so that's not like they got another generation of slaves. They're scared of them, and they think they're crazy. And most of us is getting old, and the ones that ain't got no, they get a house, they get a car, they get some nice clothes or two diamonds, and they done forgot about going home anywhere.
Where?
You hear Israel know themselves all the time, talking about, I don't come from Africa. Well, when we was in Israel, it was Africa.
Right. Northeast.
They're doing everything they can to annihilate us, and we sitting in temples saying prayers, doing absolutely nothing. They shooting down our kids. I live in Florida, and believe me, that Tavon Martin boy, he ain't the only one.
No way.
Them young kids go up in them houses, and the minute they touch them doors, they kill them. The minute they touch their cars, they kill them. And they get by on the law that if you own my property, you have a right to defend myself. But they only do that with the crackers. They don't do that with Israel down here. Israel down here go to jail. When I moved down here 20 years ago, it was one jail. They held about maybe 4,000 people. They got six jails now. And I live in a small town. And I live in a small town. And the jail is crowded. crowded. Every time you turn around, they got applications in the paper where they're trying to hire new guards. And then the other jails, they sell them off to private companies, and anything goes in jail. My son went to prison, and I just knew when he came out of prison, he was going to be okay. When he walked out of prison, he looked like he was a crackhead on the street, because the whole 3 years he was in prison, he used drugs. So we sent him money, and he took that money, and he bought. He looked like a crackhead. My daughter seen him and just started crying and hugging him. And he had been in jail for 3 years.
Wow.
They don't try to get them in jail and teach them nothing new. They let them do whatever they want to do. They sell drugs to them, and then they mistreat them. And they come out, our boys are broke down because our own men then raped them and misused them. So they come out broke down, and they can't go get a job. So nobody want to hire them because the minute they see they're a criminal, they fire them.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And we have nothing waiting for them.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to talk about, they in jail. They ain't no good. They in jail because they want to eat.
That is correct.
That's right. And have a place to
eat. And
then
you don't make it right. I think it's terrible to sell crack especially an Israelite. That's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. But if that's what you got to do to eat, or if that's what you got to do to feed your brothers and sisters because your mom is on crack too and you don't know who your daddy is, I ain't so quick to think they should turn that key on that young boy and then throw him in there with grown men that's going to take his manhood. They trying to get us every way they can. And we sit around and we say we should this and we say we should that. We got to stop doing something. We have to start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
because
if we
trying to start doing something, but the people won't move. I mean, like everybody said on the line, if we get one here, one there, one here, one there, we're talking about a whole nation, and I understand exactly how you feel, and I know exactly about the prison, because my husband is incarcerated right now as we speak. I understand everything that you're talking about. Not only do they do drugs in prison, they promote homosexuality in prison. They have relationships with a husband and a wife living in the same cell together. But guess what? As a wife, I can't even be with my husband because they have laws to prevent that too. But they promote the garbage, and they frown on the positive part of it. So all of it is corrupt. But and my issue today is when the Most High pulls people out, and he pulls us and says, okay, I want you to come out. I want you over here. I need you over here, and I need you over there. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this. And we implement it. And as we begin to implement it, we become attacked. Because believe me, don't you ever think that because we're sitting on this radio show that we're not attacked. And I mean attacked. We're doing because we're coming up against the system, the very system we're coming up against. They are coming up and attacking us, but we still find ways through people that he brings into our lives to help us with this, to provide this for us so we can get it done. And it's a struggle. And after we go through all of that and we do everything we can to pour our heart out, you know what we get? I'm going to tell you what we get. From the leaders. Ain't nobody on there. Y'all going to get us killed. Ain't nobody on there. That happened a long time ago. We did that a long time ago. Ain't nobody on there. We ain't coming yet because all we need to do is wait till Jesus comes. He's going to come and get us. I mean, and you're looking at these people like, are you serious? I mean, really?
And
it gets to the point for me, and let me tell you, I'm going to shut up after this. It gets to the point for me that I spoke to the Most High just yesterday. And I said, you know what? I don't have to do this. I mean, I really don't have to do this. I'm a person where I'm obedient. And I'll do whatever he asks me to do. But I don't have to do this. I really don't. And if he's not going to be with me, I don't even want to do this. Because you know what I found out? That people don't care what you have to sacrifice and what you have to go through. Because, like you said, their minds are so twisted. And it goes from one extreme to the other. Either they say their minds are completely gone in the beast, or their minds are completely gone in Hebrew Israelism to the point where it's like, where is the middle ground at? Because guess what? Every time we go to implement something, we get attacked. I mean, literally attacked.
Okay, wait. Can I say something? I know. I have some kind of experience. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Talk
yes,
to
ma'am.
You.
Go ahead.
I have some kind of experience in being attacked because the way I was raised, we went strictly against, we did, well, we tried to do the law according to what it said. And so nowadays, a lot of people have changed different things around, and I get heated about it sometimes. And so I know, you know, I speak my mind, and people don't like that. So I know exactly what you're coming from. But let me tell you what happened to me. I was on this prayer line for a while, and I'm really shy, so I'm old, but I'm still shy, so I really don't really like to talk. So I used to get on the prayer line, and I would listen to them saying the prayers, and my phone would be on mute, and I'd be saying the prayers with them. Well, I said a couple of things that they didn't particularly like, and two of the men deeply insulted me. They didn't know I was on the line, and they deeply insulted me and made a joke at it. And when I hung up the phone, I immediately turned to the east. I said, Mosai, everything I said to them on that line is what you said. They, you know, they want to shoot the messenger, but at the end of the day, this is what you said. This is not my law. This is what you said. And they insulted me, and they had no right to do that. And I'm not going to call him back and curse him out. I'm going to leave it up to, you know, I'm going to leave it in your hands, and I'm going to let you deal with it. And a week and a half later, one of the men called me back. Well, I just want to call you to tell you that I want to apologize because I was really kind of rude on the line, and I don't know if he was on the line or not, but I really was beside myself. I was like, no, the Most High that made you understand that what you were saying was wrong, and that's why you're calling back. You're not calling back because, you know, you bethought yourself, because the way you're talking to me, you're still trying to say, but you a woman. Me being a woman ain't got nothing to do with it. So, okay, he apologizes everything, and he hangs up and everything. And what I learned was, while I'm in there and I'm praying, because my heart felt like somebody yanked it out my body. I mean, they belittled me on that line where I couldn't even talk after I hung up. I was so shook. I was shook, and I don't get shook. And let me tell you what I learned about it. There's always going to be Israel that don't want to do the law. That's just how it is. I've got some kids like that. I don't care if they born in the law or if they came up in the law an hour before they die. There's just always going to be Israelites that do not want to do the law, that they find it cumbersome for whatever reason. They have a million excuses. They don't want to do the law. But this is what you need to remember. Every time something bad happened to me, I used to be, woe was me. And then I thought about it. And every time something bad, I started laughing. And I said to the Most High, there goes Satan again, Most High. I know we're going to get him. And I let it go. Because you got to remember what happened to Moses. Moses was telling them the right thing. They just wrecked his nerves until he hit the rock and he didn't get to walk up in to Israel because of whatever. Because he let them get to there. Israel's going to do what they wanted to. So if you just get to one human being, imagine how that looks in the eyes of the Most High.
That is correct.
Because at the end of the day, somebody is going to listen. And you can't listen. Human beings will always try to cut you down. If you don't do exactly what they say, they don't like you. If you do what they say, then you're an idiot. One way or the other, they're going to like you or dislike you. And it ain't got nothing to do with who you really are, because most people don't get to know who people really are. But what you know is what the Most High told you you need to do. And you need not let all of these people, it's like Noah. You know them people were swimming trying to get to that ark once they realized their feet was no longer touching the ground.
Ooh. That's true.
Most High locked up that ark.
Yes, he did.
And Noah got to stepping, okay? Don't believe they wasn't outside that ark hollering and screaming and holding on trees and crying. But guess what? Before the ark closed up, they was making fools out of him. They was laughing at him, calling him a dummy, and you crazy, and ain't no water here. I bet you they felt real stupid when the ark closed up and they was on the outside of it. And when you marching in the Zion and all Israel that don't want to do the right thing ain't marching, you're going to feel real good about yourself because you knew you did what the Most High said and you did the best you could. You don't let these fools get to you. You don't even give that, you don't give them that. Because if you give them that much, they'll wreck your nerves all the time. Israel is crazy.
That's right.
We crazy.
That's the truth.
And you know what? I got three crazy. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You sit down and talk to somebody, yeah, I understand. 5 minutes later, they forgot the conversation. And these are normal ones. The other ones you can't even have conversations with. And that's young and old. They're crazy. Don't let them touch your spirit.
Yeah,
Don't let them touch your spirit. Do not let them touch your spirit.
I appreciate that, and that means a lot, you know. And I do. I appreciate all that. It just sometimes it just gets to be much because I guess coming from the church, you know, you see the church and the church, it's a different mindset with the church, even though it's fake. And we understand the fakeism about the church and the things that they're going on that are fake. The heart of the giving was there. And, you know, people showed up. I mean, people come, they show up, they give time, talent, and treasure. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure there's politics over here. I wouldn't doubt that there was. And I really don't care who's the who. I really don't. I'm at the point, I'm a person like this. I don't care who you are. I mean, real talk, I don't care who you are. If you have been called by the Most High to do something, do it. But don't stand in my way when I'm getting ready to do what I've been called to do, because I'm also going to be obedient. I don't have a problem. I don't care if they have a problem with women. I don't really care nothing about that, because at the end of the day, I have to give an account for my own obedience. I don't really care about how many connections you have. I don't care how many people you have. I don't care. That's not the issue. My only issue is to be obedient. That is what I'm trying to do, and that's what we're all trying to do when we take the time to do this and to have this information available to you as a nation. And now we've had 10,000 people listen to our show in 12 weeks. 10,000 people. So we're reaching the masses. But the thing is that, you know, it's just like church. They're no different in church, because church people don't want to open up the book and read it. They want the pastor to tell them what to do. And that's what we're saying. We're not going to sit on this radio show and tell you what to do. Some information you're going to have to come and get. Just like when he rained manna down when they were in the wilderness at the bottom of Mount Sinai. You had to get up early in the morning to get enough food for your family. He didn't just rain it to your front door. All you had to do is reach outside your tent and grab a handful and feed your people. You had to get up and go get that manna. And they don't want to move. And it's like, come on. If you don't do it, you're going to perish. Because it's too late in the hour for any isms and schisms. We don't care whether you're Messianic, non-Messianic, Muslims, Moors, Christians, whoever you are, you've got to come where the answers are, because Israel is the group that has the answers. Yeah, we're crazy, but guess what? We have all the answers that's needed to get you through this period, because you know what's going to happen to the church? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to the church. T.D. Jakes, Noel Jones, Juanita Bynum, I Own the Lock, Creflo Dollar, and all the other ones, and Eddie Long, and all of those people are involved and engrossed in organizations with the Catholic Church, and they're getting ready to move their congregations into a one-world religion, and they're just singing and all happy and joyful, and they're going to move you right into the one-world religion, and before you know it, you're going to realize it's too late, you deceived. So we're just trying to sound the horn, and all I'm asking is just listen. Just listen. So I've vented and I'm done. Anybody want to say, have anything to say, want to push one, please push one. We have quite a few callers on the line. I just want to also let you know, too, you know, there's a lot of things going on. Do you all realize that the government has underground cities? The government has underground cities that they are right now filling up with food, water, shelter, communications, intelligence. They have cities that are built inside of mountains where they're going to be able to go and be able to be exempt from whatever they're expecting to happen. They're already preparing for themselves to be. I want to play this clip for you real quick, and then we're going to come back to the lines, and I want you to just listen for a moment at the clip.
Yeah. So if you're taking this down to, how far have you actually ran a load?
can't really hear it too good, but he's talking to a truck driver, and this truck driver is taking food and water and different survival things into this underground tunnel where they have a city that's completely operational with little bitty houses and little bitty rooms for people to live. They're preparing. All we're saying is what we're trying to do is get you to understand we're trying to get us prepared. The Most High is giving us a mandate to wake you up, to prepare you, and nobody's listening. Go ahead, I'm done.
I just want to say this, Yaina, is that, you know, the underground cities, all the stuff that they're doing or that they have, this isn't something that they haven't already showed us in the movies. Every time they would do something, they would show us in movies. Whenever they get ready to do something, they'll put it in a movie. They'll put it right in your face because they know they have you hypnotized enough to understand, to not understand what they're doing. You know, so they understand the power that they have in controlling the minds of our people through certain media outlets. And so they'll put it in your face. So that's nothing that's new. People are becoming more and more knowledgeable about the fact that they have these underground cities and where they have all this electricity and whatever else they're doing up under. They're actually running it like they're on top of the ground, like we're doing every day. They just live underground. So they have shown us this in the movies, just like every other thing that they've showed us in the movies that they're going to do, what's going to transpire. Just like things when it comes to when Will Smith, I think it was an Independence Day, when they had the big battle with the aliens that are going to invade, you know, out from outer space, and they're going to come and they're going to invade the United States. You know, all of the stuff that's transpiring is nothing that is new because they showed it to us in the movies that these things were going to take place. But I just want to take a little step back to something you were saying earlier, you know, about the attacks and about people, you know. To be honest with you, Yaina, I don't even care what the people say. The Most High have gotten me to a point and catapulted me to a point in my spirit that whatever these people say and what they think, I don't even care. I don't even tune my mind to even focus enough to even listen. I don't care. And another thing, I don't ever, never have to answer a critic. Why do I need to answer a critic? Anybody that's just going to just criticize me, you're not doing it constructively to help me to grow. I don't owe you no answer. Say what you want to say. Stand there and spew what you got to spew out of your mouth. But guess what? While I'm working and you're standing there, let me tell you, you will be dealt with.
That is correct.
So I don't even have to worry because, honey, just as fast as I step away from you, that's as quick as your punishment is going to come. Know this. So we don't even have to focus on that. That's not a focus. And I'm not going to turn my energy and give too much energy to you. You don't deserve my energy like that. It's too much work to be done.
Shalom,
and
Shalom, Mr. Adonia.
Go ahead, Brother Adonia.
Cain, you know, all of those little survival situations that the European is putting together, that's not going to work. The Almighty said he's going to do something to them folks, and there's nothing that we can do about it or they can do about it. You understand? They can just only let you know that they don't have any idea about no creator, period. You understand? If they knew, they would be trying to get with us and trying to help us. Once they find out, I read this here the other day, this morning, you understand, that once they, if they take and acknowledge us as being Israel, that saves them, but they're not going to do that because they are supposed to be the stick to beat us with, you understand, because of our forefathers and for their doings and for our doings, too, because remember now, we're not guiltless in this, you understand? We have the opportunity here to change our thinking and get on board with something that's going to happen. One other thing I want to say is that those that have the mindset to do That is our job. We're supposed to
yes.
do this.
Yes.
That we are. That is. You know, we save ourselves and our children. That is a major thing. You understand? To save our children alive. You understand? Put them in a position where they can build on what we put in place.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So we got to try to do all we possibly can. And those that don't want to do, just stand on the side. Don't be like Korah, you understand, and Buck, because the Almighty will take you up out of here with the quickness, and he will
That's
take
right.
you to your face. You will know that it came from the Almighty.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you know what we're going to do? Just for FYI, we're going to play this clip one more time for you all that came in late so you can hear this. Listen to this.
And collect the debt. We'll get Sheriff Richard Mack's exclusive take on the increased use of SWAT teams nationwide and Congressman Ron Paul's remarks on the Department of Education after this ABC News 10 clip. This is what they did to my door.
At 6 this morning, a SWAT team surprised Kenneth Wright at his front door.
In my underwear. In my underwear. Before I get to the door, I hear him say, hit it. And I get ready to hit the door, and they hit the door. It almost hit me. So I said, hold on. They hit it again. I said, hold on.
But the SWAT team busted in, taking Wright.
They come grab me by my neck and drag me out of my house. So right there in the grass,
thrown to the ground and handcuffed, law enforcement then searched his house.
And they put me in the backseat of a police car for over 6 hours. From 6 o'clock to 12:30, they had me handcuffed in the back of a police car with nothing on but my ripped up underwear that they ripped in the yard.
Wright says they also woke his three children, holding them for 2 hours. But they failed to find their quarry, Wright's estranged wife. Wright later complained to Stockton's mayor and police, but the city pointed to the U.S. Department of Education.
They said, you owe us too long, and you got to pay it. I just had my door kicked in because of this.
With the help of the Stockton Police Department, News 10 was able to contact one of the federal agents who was at the search this morning, who gave us a Washington, D.C. number for the Office of the Inspector General, who confirmed it was the Department of Education who conducted the search, but they can't discuss anything in the case until it's closed, not even if it's policy to break in and handcuff people who default on student loans.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard that again. We played that earlier, but, I mean, that's how deep it's been, guys.
But let me say this, Yaina, and I want to read something. You know, it's not just everybody's trying to point to the fact, oh, it's just the Israelites that they are trying to enslave. We know that we're under punishment. We know that we're enslaved, but they got the whole earth in prison. But I want to read something to you that I got offline today, and I printed off in the business. It deals with the student loans. I don't know where that noise comes from, but if you could just kind of mute your phone, because of the background noise,
I did,
and that way everybody.
I muted everybody's mic until you got through reading. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to read about student loan defaults. This is the title. It's titled Student Loan Defaulters to Face Border Arrest. Now, this was reported on May the 17th of this year. Student loan defaulters living overseas can expect to be arrested at the border when harsher penalties kick in next year. The last threat option, and they have this in parentheses, is expected to start clawing back some of the $400 million now owed by debtors, 80% of whom are overseas borrowers. The people this is targeting are those who are the most non-compliant, who are reluctant to pay anything back or respond to attempts to be contacted. Tertiary Education Minister Stephen Joyce said yesterday, the stricter sanctions announced in the budget will further the return on student loan debt. Between $60 million and $70 million has been reclaimed since the various initiatives began. The threshold for border arrest had not been set, Mr. Joyce said, but anyone with a debt of more than $15,000
and who had ignored IRD repayment requests could expect to qualify. About $7 million has been spent, listen to this, $7 million has been spent on a tracing system by which Inland Revenue works with debt collectors in Australia and Britain to find borrowers and get them before the court. Okay, so they have spent $7 million on a system to hunt you down overseas and to find you. Now listen to this. This is working really well, particularly in Australia, where there are 10,000 borrowers, many of which can afford to make payments but aren't, Mr. Joyce said. These initiatives have a running return where every dollar we spend, $11 is collected back. Wow. It will cost $600,000 for Inland Revenue to set up the border arrest system. Listen to this. The border arrest system for student loans. And those prosecuted in court could face a fine of up to $2,000. It's the risk of conviction and the effects that would have on further travel and the inconvenience of being turned away at the airport that should deter people, Mr. Joyce said. Labor tertiary education spokeswoman Megan Woods feared threatening border arrest for borrowers would stop the most skilled young Kiwis returning home. Putting guards on the border will stop people coming back, and that's our most important concern. The country has seen massive numbers of young people leaving in the past 4 years, and it was important to encourage them back rather than scare them away. Other changes for overseas debtors are higher repayment thresholds and fixed repayment obligations. From April 1st next year, a borrower with a loan of $30,000 to $45,000 living overseas is expected to repay $3,000 a year, while a loan of $45,000 to $60,000 requires a payment of $4,000 each year. Mr. Joyce said the onus is still on the person to make payments, but nobody would find themselves at border control and have not had anyone contact them about their loan. Other tertiary announcements included removing student allowances for those aged over 65 from January 1, reducing the student allowance for those aged 40 and over from 200 to 120 weeks of study in total, and extending student loan and allowance stand-down periods for permanent residents from 2 to 3 years. I'm almost done, y'all. Greens MP Holly Walker said the changes will see student numbers fall and debt grow. It will mean that many New Zealanders will miss out on the opportunity to upskill and retrain mid-career. Dr. Wood said restricting study support for young over 40s was consigning them to the scrap heap. We live in a world where people are continuing having to retrain, and 40 certainly is not too old to do that. So they said, by the numbers, total student loan debt sits at $13 billion and is projected to hit $14 billion, the size of the annual health budget, by 2015.
So what you're telling me is this, and this is crazy. I'm sorry, I just have to get this out. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But you're telling me that we're teaching our children that in order for you to make it in this system, you got to be educated. I mean, you see it all over the news. Educate yourself, college this, college that. You got Ivy League schools, and then you got down to community colleges. And they tell you, if you want to get this kind of job, educate yourself.
Okay, so then they make it available for the poor man to go to school. So then you get all these student loans, and then you get all this financial aid money to go to school. And then once you finish, you can't find a decent job to support yourself. And now that because you are having financial hardships and you can't afford it, they're going to lock you up.
That's crazy. No, they're going to lock you up. Wait a minute. They're not just going to lock you up. They're going to lock you up and prevent you from traveling. So not only are you going to have, not only you have TSA at the airports, they're also implementing a system for those that may be traveling, that have student loans, defaulted student loans. They're going to arrest you at the airport. Did you not hear what they said?
Citizen, if you go to travel anywhere and they can pull your name up and you have student loans,
going to lock you up and they're going to keep you indefinite until they feel like or fine you or whatever they're going to do to you because of these student loans, because they give it to you freely, but ain't nothing in this world free. Again, if you want to call in, the show, we're going to go into overtime in about 5 minutes. I'm going to open up the mics back to everybody. Adonia, your mic is open. I'm going to open up the mic to Annabelle, her mic is open, and I'm going to open up the mic to the young lady in Florida. I'm going to have everybody's mic open, and we still have quite a few people on the line. If you want to make a comment, please push one, and anybody that wants to talk, go ahead.
So I want to continue on what I'm saying. So it's very crucial because not only are they going to lock you up, they're going to start taking your property. They're going to start seizing property. You owe the government, and the government's coming to collect. You know, here it is. These other countries are going, they're coming to collect their debt from America. America's going to come and collect their debt from you. You owe the government. You're going to feel the pressure. They being pressured. Now they're going to put the pressure on you. You understand what I'm saying? So now we have to learn how to turn that pressure back and do something about it and get the heat off of you. How you get the heat off of you? How you know, learning their system and understanding how to maneuver through that system for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you better believe that everybody that's throwing the system at you know how to maneuver through it themselves. They know all the loopholes. They know the ways around it. Their children are benefiting from it while they're using us to make money off of us. It's crucial.
I mean, you know, that's critical. I mean, that's just crucial. That's critical. You know, and like I said, the schools are full of young people. We're training our young people when they come out of school, go to college, and obtain this and obtain all of this stuff is a joke. And it is. You know what the scary part about it is? We try to tell ourselves that we're not rolling up on the time where America is about to be judged. We're not rolling up on the time where the Gentile rule is about to come to an end. But the way it's looking, it's not looking too good right now. It looks like this is where we are, like it or not. And like I said, we're doing everything we can to get this word out here to you. We need for you guys to come. The leaders of the camps, we're going to start working on you guys at the end of June. We're going to start contacting you around the middle of this month to get you prepared so that you all can register with your wives and we can have everybody come and have a sit down, because the ones that will come will be the ones that will be prepared. The ones that don't come, we can't do anything about it. We just have to work with what we have. So we urge you to go to our website, www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com, and we can register on board for what we have, because this is really serious. I mean, it's really, really serious. And if you think about all the Hebrew Israelites that left America thinking they're escaping America and went and moved in other countries, if they ever decide to leave that country or even within that country, they can get locked up over there.
Real talk. And you know you don't know the laws over there. You don't even know the laws in America.
That's critical. Oh, my goodness. That is serious.
It's the truth. It is very, very critical, and our people, all of us, we need to come together, band together, you know, and do what we need to do to help to, you know, to bring ourselves together in order to be able to survive. Because what's transpiring is not good. Not good at all. I mean, my heart goes out for all of my people and those people. Not just my people, but even some of the other nations that don't even have a clue. You know, because they've been enslaved. They're imprisoned by their own people. But what's going to happen and what's going to be done is going to be awful. Awful.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be so ugly. It's going to be ugly.
And Kabai, you know what? And what's so beautiful You know what's so beautiful is that's why the Most High has opened up the communications for us to go into the State Department. And we're going to go, and we just want to make that announcement. We're actually going to the State Department. We've connected with someone there, and we're getting ready to go there and sit down, and we're getting ready to go there and talk. And then the Most High has opened up channels for us to connect with someone in the State Department, and they're very receptive, and we're going to sit down with them, and we're going to have a conversation with them because somebody has to prepare the way for our people. The Most High has it set up for somebody to walk through those gates and prepare the way for his people. And I'm telling you, people, things are happening at an alarming rate, but the Most High is doing what he needs to do so we can get there and we can be protected as a nation. So we want you all, everybody that's on this phone line, and we still have quite a few people on this phone line, we need your prayers because as we connected with them, and we just did this last week, we connected with them. They're very receptive to what we have to say. We're setting up an appointment to go in and sit down with them. We're putting our agenda together as to what we're going to actually talk about. And we're doing some other things that are international as well right now. We need your prayers. We need people that are willing to pray for us as we walk into these arenas because this is not a joke. This is some serious stuff that he has us doing, and we're doing it by faith, and we're doing it because he has commanded us to do it and he's mandated us to do it. So we're asking for everybody on this line that knows Kavai and I to pray for us. We need you we need your prayers as we walk through those gates. And we sit down with those people, and we begin to talk about what it is he will have us to talk about because it's not a very easy thing. And like I said, it usually costs you something when he asks you to stand up. It costs you something when he asks you to take a stand and to go before the powers that be because, like you said, they hate us. They hate us. Even some of our own people are working in there, and their minds have been conditioned that we're a bunch of quacks and we don't know what we're talking about. But the Most High sent us. And he has opened up channels of communication, and we're going to walk through that door by faith, and we're going to believe that. Ain't that right, Kavai? We going up in there, right?
Oh, honey, I'm going up in there. One thing we have to realize, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, and this is what made the civil rights movement very powerful, is that every one of those persons that believed in the freedom of our people or the so, quote-unquote, equal rights of our people, they were not afraid to die for what they believed in. That's what made it powerful. When you take fear away, when you take the fear out of a man or a woman's heart, the fear of dying, the adversary or the person that's trying to put fear in them is powerless. You have taken the power away from your enemy.
That is correct.
So, guess what? When you are fearless when it comes to, you know, guess what? I may die doing this, but I will no longer allow you to have the control.
That is correct.
I'm going to take back the power from you. And I'm going to stand up for what is right. When you make a stand for what is right and you die in righteousness, the way you die, that's the way you're going to stand before the Almighty, righteously.
Shadrach, yeah. Meshach, and Abednego.
Whew.
Oh,
so,
I mean, but
you know that's the problem. Huh?
Go ahead, Kavai. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I'm saying take the fear out of your heart, and that's what they are afraid that the fear is going to leave us. Because when you take the fear away from a man or a woman and they begin to stand up and look you in your eye,
mm-hmm.
out of eye, destroy this body, but you yet cannot destroy my soul.
Shalom, this is Adonia.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to get off the phone here because my phone is going to die on me. But I want to tell you all this. I love you,
and there's nothing that you can do about it. And I relinquish the fight.
Shalom, shalom.
Hey, Tupac, can I make an announcement real quick, too, before we go any further? We also discussed at our meeting the other day that we are looking for an international attorney. We would prefer to have an African-American woman. We will also, we're putting together a think tank, and we need some students that are studying international law. We really are really got to, and this is what we need you guys to pray for also when you go before the Most High. Pray, you know, because as we interview these women or whoever he chooses for us to have, we need we would prefer to have an African-American attorney to represent us as a nation, and we're really, and we're looking for that. So if anyone has any suggestions at all whatsoever, someone that they feel like would best represent us and knows international law to the point, please email us at nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. And we would love to be able, we're going to start interviewing attorneys real soon, and then we're going to take it before the Most High and see who he chooses. Because we're not going to make a move. We're not going to meet with anybody. We're not going to do anything until we get approval from the Most High. But we do want you guys to pray, and we're asking, you know, that if you do have names of any attorney, female attorney, we would like for you to email them to us that specialize in international law, world court, all of those things, and we're very interested in knowing who these people are. So go ahead, Kavai. I just want to make that announcement before you finish.
You're good. You're good, my sister. It's no problem. So I'm just saying, you know, we have to allow the fear to be removed from us, so that we will be strengthened to stand, and not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Almighty, in the strength of the Most High, in the strength of the all-power Creator, in His strength. So it's so important that we remember that.
Yes. Okay, the mics are still open. If anyone has a comment or concern before we hang up, they want to make a comment, please push 1. I think the show went really well today. If nothing else, the student loan information was critical. That was critical to know that they're going to start arresting us. Those that are defaulting on it, those who are not answering their calls, those who are not setting up payment plans, and, you know, whatever they need to do, answer the calls, get the stuff straight now before we have any problems at all whatsoever, because it's very, very important. They're getting ready to start putting down the hammer. And it's so ironic because they're doing it at a time when our country is in a recession. They know no people don't have money. They know we don't have money. I don't understand how they can allow gas to get up to $3.88 a gallon, $4 and some odd gallon for premium, and we're in a recession and the unemployment rate is as high as it is. It's like, why are you punishing the people for the fact that the debt ratio is where it is? That's not our fault.
So, Yaina, you know, when people are greedy, whenever has greed had compassion for anything, for anybody?
That's true.
For wickedness, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Or wickedness either. You know, like, we have to really, I'm saying it again because we have to really grasp the idea and we have to pass it along, that we're not dealing with normal other human beings. We're dealing with the children of Japheth, Edom, and if you go far back enough, Cain killed Abel, and at the end of the day, those are Japheth. They are evil people. They are wicked people. The Most High said it's either in Daniel or Ezekiel that during this time, the end of time, that things will get so bad for Israel that it'll be worse than it ever been before. Mm-hmm. And that means through all the slaveries Israel went through, that this last one is going to be the punishment. And that's because when you think about it, it's like when we was in Egypt. And we went in there as free people. The Pharaoh died. They threw us up into slavery. They used us. They abused us. And then at the end, the Most High said he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And think about it, because I have. And what the conclusion I've come to is, if Pharaoh had just said, okay, Moses, go ahead and take your people, then they would have never been paid for all the evil, wicked things they did to us, including killing our firstborn. So the Most High hardened his heart. Don't get the idea that it was unrighteous. It was righteous because of what they did to us. So then the Most High hardened his heart, and he said no. And finally, when his son was dead, and he got to feel how we felt when they killed our children, then he said, go ahead. And then his pride jumped in again. And at the end of the day, they all died in the Red Reed Sea because the Most High had a plan for them. Even if they wasn't the ones that killed the children, somewhere along the line, they did something to Israel because they kept them in bondage and deep slavery. And these white people have to pay for what they did to us. And we have to get to the point where we realize that we can call on all these idols we wanted. These idols is God. Most High showing us mercy now. Because Israel that don't know themselves is praying to these idols, and they decent people, and Most High is still helping them. Because we still up under mercy, because that's mercy. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a time when you're going to have to choose. Do you want this man, or do you want the creator of all things? And I don't care who you are. You got to use common sense. Just because you're Israelite, you can't be stupid. Stock up some food. Stock up some water. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to come a time. These people hate us. They don't want to do nothing for us no more. They just want to get rich. They want us to fold up and die. It's too many people in the world. And we become a burden to them. And they're going to do everything they can to make our lives. How could you pay almost $4 for a gallon of gas and then go work an hour for $7, $8, $9 an hour? It takes more than a gallon of gas to get most people to work. They need keep us here. And then there's a few of us that they let slip. They'll let a Beyonce slip through, and they'll let a Jay-Z, because they didn't already make the agreements with them, because they didn't already become them. So I'm old, and maybe that's why, because I've watched us say we was going to do something for 45 years, and they've done things and it never worked. But if you look at the world now, you can see in the world that all the things that's coming about is what the Most High said is going to happen at the end of days. And at the end of the day, you could listen, you could not listen. But when you stand before the Most High and he say to you, and you heard them two sisters on that line and they was telling you the truth, and why didn't you listen? What you going to say? Because you could lie to human beings, but you can't lie to the Most High.
That's right.
So everybody that hears what you're saying, the Most High cares about them because he gave them an opportunity to hear the truth. You know how many Israelites there is all over the world that don't ever get this opportunity? Now, if you're ignorant, and excuse the way I talk, but if you're stupid and you hear this information and you choose to block it out, well, then that's on you. And when you ain't got no food and you ain't got no water and you ain't got nobody to help because you didn't want to listen, that's on you too.
You're right.
Things are going to get really, really bad for Israel. Really, really bad. I mean, we think it was bad before. We ain't seen nothing yet. They know their time is up.
Yeah.
And they mean to destroy his man. Heroin, this is 2013, and you can buy heroin for $2.
That's wow.
How could that be? Yeah. That's wickedness.
Wow.
Heroin costs more than $2. I've seen it on CNN in New York City. That's where I come from. 25 years ago, you could buy heroin for $2. And the heroin that you could buy now for $2 is the best heroin. They take the heroin and they, according to CNN, said they can cut it 3 or 4 times before they even sell it, and they cut it over and over again, and that's why they sell it so cheap. And it's flooding our neighborhoods. $2. They hate us. They look, if they can't get you in the gangs and give you guns to kill each other, then they're going to give you dope, or they're going to give you crack, or they're going to give you coke.
Mm-hmm. Or put you on medicine. The biggest dope killer is sitting in the doctor's office with a pad
and a RX with a pen and an RX pad. I'm gonna write you
That's
up.
That's right.
They're the biggest vote pushers because they're in bed
yes.
with the pharmaceutical companies.
Most definitely.
Let me tell you something. I remember it was a few years back. I want to say it was 2003, maybe 2004, whatever. I had to go to the doctor and get an examination. And the doctor wanted to put me on this medicine after the examination and all this other stuff. But I was always one that always studied stuff and researched stuff. So when he was trying to put me on this medicine, I was like, you know, I got the prescription, and I went back home, and I got on the computer. And I got to research, and I was like, this medicine causes heart failure.
Heart failure.
So when I went back to the doctor, he wanted me to come back in because I personally don't like doctors. I don't like going to the doctor. I would rather do something naturally to heal my body than to go up in there, especially medical doctors, because medical doctors have been taught to push drugs on people.
Right.
Doctors of osteopathic medicine, they're a little bit more towards the line of trying to get you well holistically. But an MD, that will drug you till you die. So,
exactly.
I went to the doctor. When I went back to him, I looked at him. I said, Dr. So-and-so, I said, I researched it. This says this causes heart failure. And he said, well, you know, there was one patient. Listen to what he said. Well, there was one patient who did take this medicine and it caused his heart to stop. But this is what he said about his patient. He said, but that old fart was old anyway. I looked at him.
Wow.
Like, real talk. I looked at him like,
Wow. Well, exactly.
That's the way you feel about your patients, and you tell another patient that? I'm not stupid. You can open your mouth and do all the flapping you want to and think I'm not catching stuff. I'm catching it all. You think I took that medicine? Please.
And guess what, Kavai? I had the same experience, but only they gave me some medicine to take, and I asked the pharmacist, and I want to let everybody know, before you take anything, you can always call your pharmacist. We have a store here called Walgreens. I don't know how wide range it is all over the country, and the pharmacist will tell you. And I asked her, I said, what are the side effects from this medicine here? She said, well, I'm going to tell you something. She said, if I was you, I wouldn't take it. She said, because it causes stomach cancer. I said, excuse me? She said, I would just do without because it causes stomach cancer. And it's been no, you know what? I did not take it. I said, you know what? I'm glad that I took a moment to really research because you're right. They are not, they are in, America is a corporation. It's corporation.
Yes.
Just like when we looked up about the Department of Immigration. Do you want to tell them about the Department of Immigration?
The so-called federal U.S. Department of Immigration is actually a private entity. It is nothing federal about it. Nothing governmental about it. It is a private company.
Yes, it is.
Period.
Period. Crucial. Another false perception that they put in our mind by putting U.S. Department of Immigration.
Exactly.
Crucial.
All these illusions that are before us. Illusion.
So, you know, we want to also, you know, we're going to have a show because somebody asked me to have a show about eating healthy and the foods that we need to eat that are healthy and the things that we need to do. So we're going to eventually do a show on how to eat healthy and the things that we should buy so we can clean our bodies out and do all the things that we have to do in that aspect. And we didn't want, you know, we're running out of time right now, so I just wanted to give everybody an opportunity to make a statement. If you have something you want to say, press one. If you don't, Kavai, you have anything you want to say before we end it up?
I want to say thank you to all of our listeners, especially to the brethren and the sisterin. I want to thank you near and far and to tell you that much love and respect to you and much appreciation for you listening to our show. The honor is all mine, and I want to thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
All right. And sis from Florida, we're glad to have you back, and we would love to have you on the panel if you'd like to participate on our panel with us, because we would love to have you at the State of the Nation Address. It's September the 1st. Our tickets are $55 a person, and that basically, ladies and gentlemen, that pays for your food. I mean, because we have to have the food catered in, and we have someone that's going to do that actually cooks according to our diet specifications. If that basically pays for your food all day, the rest of everything else we're going to cover and take care of. So we need you all to register as soon as possible, and we want you to be a part of it. The website is www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com. Also, we're going to send out our newsletter. We did not send a newsletter out for May, but we will be sending a newsletter out for the month of June. If you would like to participate in our newsletter, please email me at nationofyehudah@yahoo.com. We also put a call out for it. We need a female African-American attorney that specializes in international affairs and world court. So if anybody has anybody, whether they're a student or they're going to school for it, or you feel like they can help us with something, please email us at nationofyehudah@yahoo.com. And if nobody else has anything else to say, Annabelle, we love you, love you, we love you. You've been a faithful witness since we started, and we love you. And we just want to say thank you for so much
of your help.
And we thank all of our contributors and the people who helped to make this show happen, all of the people who have donated funds and helped us to keep the radio show on the air.
We thank you,
and we love you because you've always been there for us. And we want to say shalom, shalom to everybody, and we
shalom,
will
shalom.
Definitely see you next week.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Love you.
Shalom.
All right. I think that's where we get off at. Kavai, you still there?
Yes, I am. And shalom, shalom. Thank you to everyone. Much love, much love, much love, much love.
Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next week. We hope you were listening. It's all for your own good. We love you. Shalom.